From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome, News OK listeners, to, I'm not going to say the most delicious podcast on the World Wide Web, but I'm going to say at least one of the top seven most delicious podcasts.
Tasty.
Delicious, you know,
delicious,
pick your adjective.
For your ears.
Whatever you want to call smoke, definitely. It is the Top Chef Masters podcast. Your host, Dave Cathy, the food dude, with Jennifer Moniz and Matt Clayton. And here it was. It was the final foray before the big show next week. And we had Art Smith, Oprah's personal chef, and Barack Obama's personal chef, and the King of Sweden's personal chef.
And he's cooked for everybody famous and reminded us like 500
everybody
times.
Everybody plus Matt Clayton.
Right. Actually, I think he's coming to eat some chicken.
Which would be welcome to all. Yes, we had Roy Yamaguchi from Hawaii. You might remember him. I believe it was season 3 when they finished up in Hawaii, and he was the big guest judge, and he's got restaurants all over. We had Jonathan Waxman from New York City, and Michael
Cimarosi,
the fish dude, the fishmonger. We'll call him the fishmonger from L.A. Sort of a quiet type. It was a battle royal. For once, everybody who competed did pretty well.
Well, and there were no women.
Yeah, no
for the
women.
First time.
Yes, no women. It was not including women this time. Very sexist. Although Art Smith, you know,
questionable,
you know, with his use of the word honey and the tone. And yeah, he sort of subbed in there. But anyway, so we started out with a quick fire. It was the old aisle challenge, an old favorite, where they chefs are given $20. And given an aisle and said, make something. So we had some interesting attempts there.
And we still had the, you know, we have Waxman talking about how he doesn't, I mean, going even further, how he doesn't open cans and doesn't open jars.
Yeah, get over it,
dude. I'm like, okay, so we had the standard, like, I haven't been in a grocery store in 30 years, yeah. You know, line later on from Roy.
Yeah,
but, you know,
trying
Waxman
to find the
talking
cheese.
About how he's never even opened a jar. I'm like, who are you people?
I just refuse to, those people aren't real. You know, I think they just say random things and to make. There's no way, like he doesn't have any children, or he's never been married, or
he's never
he
left that
have
little
a
cool,
home.
Yeah, that cool little. I would never leave that restaurant either if I had it. The
he
little
has a sous chef to open a can for him. That's fine, but
he can't see either. Apparently,
really,
as cool as the restaurant looked, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it really makes me think that these guys don't do much at their restaurants.
I guess
they work their way up and this type of thing when they're younger, but I mean, at some point, they're just the figurehead.
That's right.
That looks good. Send it.
Right. I don't need to taste it.
That doesn't open jars.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, yeah, because I believe Cimarello, didn't he? He said he worked at Jonathan Waxman's restaurant at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So he would know better than anyone what the case was. But Cimarello, he was the one that he won with a little parfait. He had the chocolate. Nice.
Which probably,
well done.
At least from looks alone, looked the least.
Mm-hmm.
Not appealing, but at least, you know. Aesthetically pleasing.
Right. Before. The least chefish, you know.
Right.
You know, it just looks like a little bit of pudding. But, you know, sometimes you got to cheat and use chocolate. And
yeah.
Because he did.
He definitely had the advantage. I mean, even though he was scared to make a dessert, mm-hmm. which I think all of them are always terrified to make a dessert.
Right.
It's like, if given the whole baking aisle, there's a lot of dessert options. If
there
you
are.
Have chocolate,
you can
pretty
sort
golden.
Of, yeah, it's like a shortcut to people's heart in a lot
so
of cases.
It's so different than anything else that they've been given.
Yeah, yeah, and they finished up with it too.
Right, exactly. So I was like, oh, that was great.
But yeah, they all seem to have done pretty well. And so I think Waxman was bottom 3.5, and Cimarello had 5. So you had going into the final challenge, you had a pretty tight battle. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of name dropping from your man, Art Smith. So yeah, basically it was almost like the TV show Chopped, where they had a mystery box to deal with. But the twist was each chef filled the mystery box. They knew who they were, you know, filling the box for, And then they unleashed it on them. And
total cop-out, this mystery box. It's like, give the top chefs of the world the best ingredients possible in these mystery boxes, and let's see if they can make a good dish. I mean, I wanted, like, where's the sea urchin? Or, you know, I mean, where's the weird stuff that it's like, you're a top chef, make crap into something good.
Right.
That's what I want to see.
I agree. I was actually hoping it would be a little like Chopped, where maybe they give them an assortment of really simple, good ingredients, but then some really strange, like, deal that you have to implement into it.
It just doesn't even seem fair compared to some of the other challenges. Like, you had the week with Rick Bayless. Well, he got tongue, which was, you know,
it worked
lucky
out for him.
But everyone else was dealing with awful.
Yeah, it was a really hard challenge either way.
If you did that in the regular season, in the regular course of Top Chef, you would have these.
Yeah, there would have been
people
like
buying Lord knows what
for plastic forks.
Exactly.
I mean, where's the sense of competition? Right. Seriously,
the thing that was missing. It was good because you see so much backbiting and all this other stuff on reality television. Right. But then you see these guys just wanting to hug each other.
I know. They're talking about what a great dinner they made together and all that. Yeah.
I want somebody to get stabbed or something.
That's right.
You know?
Where's the conflict?
Seriously.
Where is the conflict?
I live in America. Okay? I live in France. I live in Canada. I want to see somebody get hurt.
Way too much respect. Respect for one another.
That's right. The respect was
and they
was
left
oozing.
Even like the last part of it. It's like, we're going to be friends forever.
Come on.
Yeah, it was like the last episode of The Real World when they all hug each other, and it's before the we need to have the make where they
tell
come back.
All.
Yeah,
tell all
show. Maybe then we'll get to the good stuff. But yeah. Yeah, they were really pretty easy on each other, except for the fact that they made Roy go into a grocery store a second time.
Right.
Which, you know, when he
and
was
he couldn't find cheese.
He couldn't find excuse
Who
me, ma'am.
Can't find cheese
have
at a grocery store.
Seen the cheese? Really?
Wasn't he standing right next to it when he asked
for it? Yeah, I think so. God. I'm pretty sure.
She looks at him like... Yeah.
Is this some... Yeah, is this candid camera? Or am I being punked?
You've been chefed.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, they were given a pretty simple, you know, setup. And they were able to make pretty awesome meals by the sound of it. I mean, there was nothing they hated. Now, I will say one positive to this show is we didn't have Dogface.
Right.
What's his name? The
British.
The British dude that none of us really like. He was not...
Jay Rosser.
Yeah, there you go. He was not there, which was a positive.
Yeah.
We had Gail Simmons back and slumming it for Top Chef Masters for 1 week. But otherwise, you know... They really seemed to like the show, like pretty much everything they ate. And it was culinary students were the judges.
Yeah.
So there you go again. It's like, what do you think culinary students are going to say about four of the top chefs in the entire world? Oh, these are terrible.
Right. It's like, this food is awesome. Can I work for you?
Right. I mean,
looking back on, as much as I hate the guy that was on there last week, Jeff Lewis, I think his name is.
Right.
Like, they just need to, he needs to be on there all the time.
Right.
Conflict, for sure.
Have they actually told anybody how they're doing the last? Is it
no.
next week, the last one?
It looked like it's all one episode
it
to
did.
Me.
It did. I don't know if they're going to break it into two or what, but they could. I mean, I'm sure they filmed it all at once, but.
I think freaking Art is going to be like lamb to the slaughter, though,
that is.
Because
Chicago.
You know, he's been all like loved up this week. And then he's going to go with like some chefs that are actually somewhat hardcore and probably
exactly
not going
right.
to give you like a mystery box of truffles.
Truffles in there. That's, we got truffles. Really?
Slice them or two.
He grate them. I mean, what?
Really?
Yeah. Well, I was glad to see that Gail, what's her name? The one with
the hat.
Hat
lady.
Yeah, she changed hats.
Gail Green. Or something.
Gail Green. Yeah, we had too many Gails in this
she
episode.
She liked everything, too. It was like, at least you expect her to hate everything. Because that's her job. That's fine. Yeah.
And but, she does.
Yeah,
you know,
last night,
typically.
Oh, that was splendid.
Yeah, it really was. There was violin music through the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, it
for
was
sure.
it was like a Care Bears episode. Everybody ends up loving each other at the end.
We should say what they made though. Art did make he made two kinds of chicken of course that's his thing. It's chicken, fried chicken, which it looked spectacular.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it looked unreal. And then there was a smothered chicken, which looked equally excellent. And what was
mango pie?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was a cobbler, like a little mango cobbler.
I mean,
Yeah, yeah, that was out there.
It looked like a really good meal.
Yeah, it really did. It I would have eaten it as much as, and maybe he could have dropped my name. You know, who knows?
Only he had some sweet tea to go with it.
Ooh, that would have been some mac and cheese.
That's right. I got to tell you, the Waxman, he made the juicy looking mess. That looked awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to lift that plate up and drink the juice. That looks so good.
It wasn't a pretty plate, though.
It wasn't pretty, but man, it looked good.
And then Michael had the loin of lamb with the orange sauce.
Yeah, that was the closest thing we had to like screwing somebody over. Because, he is renowned as the fish guy, and Waxman didn't give him any fish.
And he called him out on it, too. Yeah, like little young whippersnapper, like calling out Jonathan Waxman, like, where's my fish?
Yeah. He's like, dude, I'm old.
He was like, oh, but I can do five with pork.
It's like, pork's good.
I have freaking lamb chops. Like, I've got to deal with this. Yeah. This is awful.
This is hard.
But yeah, that was about it. And Roy was the only one who seemed like a little...
Well, he had short ribs and mahi-mahi,
Well, he says he likes surf and turf.
Yeah.
But that's not the two that you would typically match, you know?
Like you would pick... Either you would pick one or the other, especially mm-hmm. you only have to use 7 of 11.
That's right. Yeah, another out that they gave them. Yeah,
it's like you could have just focused on the tuna, mm-hmm. done that perfectly.
Yeah, because they like that. Like,
yeah,
they sound like they like the mahi mahi a lot, but I think the complaint was it didn't really seem to go together. None of it did. Which...
Well, I love Gail Green, who's like, oh, mahi-mahi, it's such like a loser fish.
I would never order that in a restaurant. I would put it in my hat and run away, though.
And I love how she says all of that and then follows it up with, but this is delicious.
It's the best thing I've ever eaten. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm over her. But we've only got one more episode to deal with her until we get to set up for the big, big show. But I'm really looking forward to this battle. I mean,
it'll be good. I think the end will be good.
I'm really looking forward. Well, Matt and I talked before. I was rooting for Rick Bayless like they were my favorite, like he was my favorite football team the last time. Lori and I both found ourselves like cheering out loud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, is this really happening?
You've got him, you've got Bayless and Chiarella and all those mm-hmm. guys that.
Yeah, funny how the TV chefs all made
right,
it.
Exactly. Hmm. Especially Chiarella has sort of given up the Food Network thing.
Right.
And for lack of a better phrase, trying to earn some credibility back maybe.
Right, right.
Going out and doing this and showing, hey, I can still do this.
Right, right.
Yeah, I haven't opened a jar in 30 years.
Exactly. I got a whole line of restaurants called Roy's, but I don't know how to open a jar.
I got to say, as much as I'll be rooting for Rick, I think that Hubert Keller's probably the guy to beat.
I don't know. Those women. First woman, whatever her name was hardcore. Both of the women are hardcore.
Yeah, the woman, the one from New York, she's my second choice. She's the number two. Because she's the one that's in the kitchen all the time. And Hubert Keller's in the kitchen all the time. So I think those the ones that are in there a lot, Bayless, I know he's in the kitchen, but not nearly as much as those two. It's like a nightly occurrence with them.
Well, and it seems by them not being in the kitchen mm-hmm. where it's really hurt them the most. Obviously, they know how to cook.
Sure.
But the time.
Right.
All of them have had a lot of problem with time because it sounds like they haven't cooked a lot recently.
Exactly. And, well, and Rick, I'm sure, in his episode, he probably does make tongue at home all the time, so it wasn't like a huge deal. But I have a feeling the comfort zone will be lifted, and he's going to have to jump into the deep end. So
I hope so. I really don't want to see Mystery Box of Truffles in the last episode where it's like here,
Rick, tacos.
We might have
already made.
It's over. See ya.
I still say the best thing about last night's episode was the preview for Top Chef.
Yes.
That's true.
Las Vegas.
We actually got to see some of the folks.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I'm looking forward to it.
Padma. Yeah, and Padma.
We haven't even talked about Padma. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Hey, Fonzie, what's that up there?
Yeah, I don't know what to say. Padma, don't do it. That's all I have to say. You remember a guy named Emeril? You might recall him. You know, he's still somewhere on the television scape, but
This is even worse. At least Emerald did like food show. Yeah. This is like
he was the star of his own show.
This is like a sitcom.
Oh my god! No, he had a sitcom too. Yeah, very briefly.
That's right.
Yeah, Emerald had a sitcom. Anthony Bourdain, he wasn't in it, but there was a sitcom that was made based on his book No Reservations. It failed miserably. Emerald's sitcom failed miserably. And those two guys were actually stars.
Wow.
Padma is a host.
Yeah. Right.
Her big street cred is having been with, what's his name, the writer?
Rushdie.
Yeah, Salman Rushdie. Yeah, that was before the show. No. That was her big claim
to
fame.
The one thing she has is that she's hot.
Well, she is.
And the scar.
And the scar. The scar, that gives her some actual exotic, you know. But, you know, how many model types do you know that have had sitcoms that worked?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean,
it's pretty much doomed.
Yeah, don't do it, Padma. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just don't do it, okay? But in the meantime, as we're and join us in our telepathic message to Padma to not do this. While we're doing that, we look forward to next week's show. We'll be back here to talk about it. So join us then.